What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Investor's Journey podcast, or the Investor's Digest Market Update, depending on how you're tuning into this. I am your host for this episode, John Barr, here with Prime Homes. So go ahead and get into this. Actually, a little note before we actually start into it. If you're listening to this via the Investor's Journey podcast, I know John and I were talking about this, like how hard it is sometimes to really hear so many statistics and not really know what they mean. They're just numbers when you're just listening to it and you don't have anything to reference. So if you are listening to this via the podcast, I encourage you to head over to YouTube and take a look at the video so you can kind of see what it is these numbers actually mean and put these things into context as I'm talking through this. Or you can head over to the our website at primehomes.com and subscribe to our Investor's Digest, where you will get a link to this video and a PDF copy of all the slides that these things are going off of, so you can really kind of put these into context and formulate your own opinion on what these numbers really mean. Because as I'm talking through cycles and trends and how those things work, while you can hear me say it, it doesn't really make as much sense as when you are looking at it and seeing it over time. So I'll do my best to kind of make it a little more entertaining if you're listening to it that way, but I highly encourage you to go to Investor's Digest at primehomes.com or go over to our YouTube channel and check out the video there so you can kind of follow along of what these numbers really mean. So the April-May numbers overview, remember now this number, these statistics are backdated a little bit compared to what they are is at the time. Like when this goes live, I think it'll be right here at the end of May, and some of this stuff is from the April's time frame. So we need sales data from April to compile it and present it in May. So the average sales price here in San Antonio has crested over $267,000, which is a 4.3% increase from this time last year. Median sales price was up to $217,000, which is a 3.8% increase year over year. And I realized a little bit of a mistake here on the total sales volume, that there's actually 3,003 sales in April versus the 2,003 that it says here. But that is a 5.4% increase year over year. Average rental price, it had a strong comeback from this time last year, up to $1,481, and is a 3.4% increase from this time last year. Now, that number usually hovers around 1% to 2%, so we're seeing a little bit of a higher than average rental price increase. The unemployment in San Antonio is looking strong. We've gained 1.57% from this time last year and gained 1,300 jobs from the previous month. Unemployment is way down to 2.59%, and that's here in San Antonio. That decreased over 0.5% from this time last month. This is actually, I tracked this, the unemployment back 20 plus years, and this is the lowest that has ever been since I've been, for the data that I actually have. So 2.59% is a new record for here in San Antonio as far as the lowest unemployment. Now that does present a little bit of an issue that we'll kind of get into a little bit later. Months of inventory is 3.59%. Now remember what that really means, and that number is accurate for the as of May. It's the information that I pull myself. And what months inventory really means is gauging the hotness, as you call it, for the real estate market. 6 months of inventory basically means if we stop listing houses and the number of sales that happened in the previous month continued, we would consume all of the active listings in 6 months. And they say that is your balanced market between buyer and seller, and prices should be just flatline, no appreciation, should stay right there at that price point. Now, anytime you have that number drop below 6 months of inventory, that take, like where we're at 3.59, that's showing that there is a discrepancy from the supply and demand. There is a lot of demand for housing and not enough supply. So that's something that we use as investors to determine how hot the market is and how demand for our product really is. Now that's all of San Antonio. Now there's pockets within that that, like I said on the intro, you should really tune into this via YouTube or our newsletter so you can see like the hottest zip codes, so you can really see what those numbers really mean over time, because it's not going to be able to really mean much if you're just listening to this. So median sales price here in San Antonio, you can see this over trend back to 2011 when real estate prices bottomed out coming out of the housing crisis. And you, what you're looking at here is the cycles that real estate follows through, where it goes. The median sales price drops in the wintertime and goes up in the summertime. Drops in the wintertime, up in the summertime. So to give you an illustration for those of you that can't see what I'm referring to, in January of 2018, we were at a median sales price of $195,000. Now, when we get to June of 2018, where it peaked out for the highest, it hit $225,000. So a $30,000 price increase from the dead of winter to the middle of summer, where it's the hottest time to be buying real estate or selling real estate, depending on where you're at. And that $225,000 from last summer was up from $215,000 the previous summer. Now, I'd expect at the pace that we're going, that we're seeing year-over-year increases of 3 to 5%, I would expect that June this year, we would top out over $225,000. So it's something to really kind of keep in mind when you're listing your homes and trying to kind of when to buy, when to sell, to kind of try to time the market the best you can for the sales price. By no means would I say hold your property and wait till your summertime time frame comes around. But it does come if you're really trying to buy January, December, February, the really cold months, buying them at that time so you can get them renovated, get them on the market, and have them ready for that next wave of increase in demand. Now, rents kind of follow the exact same trend. While we haven't had as big a jump as we have had in the previous summers, we are still increasing in our average rents to where it follows the same time frame. It goes up in the summertime, the average rental price goes up, and then it drops down in the wintertime, up in the summertime, down in the wintertime. Something to really use this for is when you're structuring your leases. Try to make them end right there at the beginning or end of April or there in May sometime, that if you have a tenant turnover, you have time to get in there, get them renovated, get them freshened up, get them back on the market, and have your best chance to up your rents to capture that long-term higher price rent. I do that with my leases, and I know a lot of other people do the exact same thing as well. Structure 9, 10, 16, 18 month leases to make sure they end up right there on April. I know one investor here in town, they put it on there for 6 months. It's a trial period, and then they'll renew the lease, but they want to end them always on April so that if they have a turnover, they're not sitting there with their vacancy. And because of those of you that have the buy and hold, those vacancies can really kill if you have to wait a month or two, or you have to lower your price to get a tenant in there. So make those vacancies end right there that April, May timeframe. Now, the 20-year unemployment, and like I mentioned before, that why I'm a little bit concerned is you can kind of see over the time frame that how fast unemployment can really go up. I can see the last two recessions we had here, the dot-com bubble of the early 2000s, and then the financial crisis of the 2008-2010 period. And you can kind of see like how fast the unemployment really jumps up over time, which is why I watch this, because if I see unemployment taking huge strides up month over month, getting up to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% unemployment, I'm going to start be really looking like, what's causing this? How is that going to affect my business here in real estate? And now why I'm worried about this unemployment going low, while that's great for today, what that's saying is like, we have a huge employment problem in this nation, and I mean, you can see that the national unemployment, I think, is hitting around 3%, and that's causing huge labor demand. So if companies keep borrowing debt to try to expand, that money cannot be put to good use to get a good return on it, because they physically cannot hire the laborers and the skilled laborers to get into those jobs. So you'll start seeing companies start to up their wages so they can recruit more people. Then will the other companies trying to increase their wages to keep those people to get that return, where over long periods of time, eventually that's going to cause problems in the economy, whether that might be inflation or the prices increasing to try to absorb that, or some other kind of shortage that might be, or the labor shortage where you just don't get that return on investment and that debt really starts to pile on to companies and they can't service it. So that's why I've always been kind of concerned about unemployment staying that low, and you can kind of hear it if you watch the pundits on the news, that unemployment could potential, or an unemployment rate that low could become a problem. So kind of keep in tune for that and understand what that employment number really means, why it's great to have such a low unemployment today, because it does drive demand up for our prices. It does pose problems in the future. How long that future is, no idea. If I had a crystal ball, I'd be making a lot more money than I am today. But that is what that can mean. Now here's the year-over-year appreciation where I have seen, you can see out of coming out of 2011 how fast we started hitting 10% year-over-year appreciations, but we haven't crossed over 10% since 2015. And with we are now starting to kind of see a decline in the appreciation. Now it's saying, not saying appreciation is going backwards to where prices are going flat. They're just not increasing as price as fast. And what I think is attributing to that is an affordability issue, which you'll see in some of these other slides, of like where the most houses are sold in San Antonio is right there in that 150 to 200,000 price range, or into 250, but no builders are building at that price point. So it's taking all the houses that are below that price and pulling them up to that price point and then pushing them past. But once they get past, they start to be a lot more buyers that can afford it and a lot more people that can choose, so that they kind of stable off and hold down. So now that we're hitting that median sales price of that 225 and likely to cap it this year, we're going to start running into those affordability issues. So now the portion of where to market. Now, when I say where to market, what does that mean? I mean, where do you market that has the best chance, based on months of inventory, to have that price appreciation, that most in demand for housing that has the most likelihood of prices to increase over time. Now, this is, again, people that are just listening to the podcast, head over to primehomes.com, subscribe to the Investor's Digest, or head to YouTube, to our YouTube channel, so you can see what I'm looking at here, so you understand what this means. So now, by price range, where is the most in-demand housing? And it is right there at the 150 to 200,000. Now, out of the 3,000 sales between the 100 and 200,000 price point range, I'd venture to say that over half of those sales are in that price range, and we're sitting at 1.68 months of inventory for $150,000 to $200,000 houses. That is a very low number, so those appreciations do increase at that rate, and you'll see on the next slide what that looks like over time on the appreciation when these numbers do sit that low in that median price point. That's why for us in our business, we try to stay under that $250,000 price point, because once you go from 250, where there's 2.83 months of inventory, once you hit 250 to 300, that months of inventory increases to 4.27. So kind of keep that in mind, where that six is that balanced market where prices really don't increase. That's a balanced market between supply and demand, and use that into account. So 2.83 is a very, very in-demand price point number. Is why we try to stay there, because those prices, where our risk is lower, the demand is high, builders aren't building at that price point, means we can get in, get out of those properties very quickly and have a chance to make more money than we anticipated just by sheer price going up. Now, the best zip codes right now is 78252, 78250 are the top two, with months of inventory of 1.32 and 1.46. Those are very large zip codes for those of you that don't know where they're at. It's kind of on the northwest side of San Antonio. And like I mentioned, so April of 2017 in 78252, that median sales price was $151,000. Now it is $196,000 in 2 years. That's $45,000 of price appreciation in 2 years in that zip code. And what causes that is a lot of demand and that low barrier of entry. And now that has increased prices, because appraisers are giving concessions to that because people are overpaying than what the properties are being listed for, or they're selling extremely quickly. So kind of keep that in mind as far as your months of inventory. So check that out. If you're just listening to the podcast, head over and look at these lists. Now, the worst zip codes. Now, I'm not saying these are bad zip codes by any means, but I go off of months of inventory. Where's the highest months of inventory? And it's no surprise to see a lot of these are in the 400,000 to 500,000 price range. A few of them down into the hundreds, but they are much older neighborhoods. You're looking 78202, 78204, 78210, which are all downtown, around the downtown area, much older homes that traditionally they were very run down, dilapidated houses, to where they need heavy, heavy renovations, to where in order to do that kind of renovation, you couldn't buy the house cheap enough to do that renovation and turn a profit. Well, now with the huge revitalization of downtown and the demand to live close to downtown, that you're seeing that turnaround where investors are able to get these properties cheap enough, do the renovations they need to do, and get them sold again. I'm running a little short on time on this one, but that kind of wraps it up. So like I mentioned in the very beginning, if you listen to this on Investor's Journey Podcast, over to primehomes.com to get on the Investor's Digest so you can see this video and get a copy of the slides, or you can head over to our YouTube channel. But if you haven't heard about our podcast, definitely head to wherever you get your podcasts and search Investor's Journey, where we give tips and tricks of how we run our business and what we're learning. So happy investing. See you.